بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of the three fundamental principles, and we have reached the fifth pillar of Iman, and that is the fifth pillar of faith, and it is الإيمان باليوم الآخر, believing in اليوم الآخر, the last day. This refers to the day of resurrection, the day of resurrection, يوم البعث, يوم القيامة, when people will be resurrected and they will be brought for account, and there will be either reward or punishment. There will be either reward or punishment. Now, why is it called the last day? The answer is because there is no day which comes after it. Because there is no day which comes after it. Because in this, following this day, people will be the people of paradise, who will have an eternal abode in paradise, and there will be the people of the fire in their final abode. And the issue about this matter, which is the belief in the last day, has certain aspects to it, and these include, first, believing in the resurrection. Believing in the resurrection. And this resurrection takes place when the horn, As-Sur, is blown for the second time. People will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all creation. They will stand barefoot, naked, and uncovered and uncircumcised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:104, كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُ وَعْدًا عَلَيْنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ. And remember when the day when we shall roll up the heaven like a scroll rolled up for books. As we began the first creation, we shall repeat it. Just as Allah created them in the beginning, we shall repeat it. It's a promise binding upon us. And Allah will certainly carry it out. This is a promise binding upon us. And truly we shall do it. Now, what are the evidences for the resurrection? The resurrection is established, is an established reality and a fact by textual proofs from the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Ijma' of the Muslims, Ijma' al-Muslimin, the consensus of the Muslims. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى in Surah Al-Mu'minun, in chapter 23, verse 15-16, ثم إنكم بعد ذلك لميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة تبعثون ثم إنكم بعد ذلك ميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة تبعثون. After that surely you will die. Then on the day of resurrection, you will be resurrected. On the day of resurrection, you will be raised up. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the authentic hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and by Muslim that the people will be raised up on the day of resurrection barefoot, hufa, naked and uncircumcised. And there is consensus of the Muslims upon this. There is consensus by the of the Muslims on this. And also, this is a matter which is necessitated by wisdom. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set an appointed time for the creation to be requited for the duties He bound them with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 115, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ Did you think that we had created you in play without any purpose? And that you would not be brought back to us? Meaning for requital. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Qasas, in chapter 28, verse 85, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَدْ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَدْ Verily he who has given you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qur'an will certainly bring you back to Ma'ad, the place of return. So this is the first matter. The first matter is that the belief in the last day comprises the belief in the resurrection, Al-Ba'ath. The second matter is that it comprises the belief in al-jaza' wal-hisab, accounting and retribution. Everyone will be brought to account for his deeds and will be rewarded or punished for them. And this is a matter also which is affirmed by the book, the Quran, by the Sunnah, and the ijma', the consensus of the Muslims. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, chapter 88, verse 25 to 6, إِنَّ إِلَيْنَا إِيَابَهُمْ ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا حِسَابَهُمْ Verily to us will be their return, then verily for us will be their reckoning. Allah will bring them to account. وقال الله تعالى in Surah Al-An'am, in chapter 6, verse 160, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ Whoever brings a good deed shall have 10 times the like thereof to his credit, and whoever brings an evil deed shall have only the recompense of the like thereof, and they will not be wronged. وقال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 47, ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا وإن كان مثقال حبة من خردل أتينا بها وكفى بنا حاسبين. And we shall set up balances of justice on the day of resurrection, then none will be dealt with unjustly in anything. And even to the extent of the weight of a mustard seed, we shall bring it and recompense it. We'll bring it, and sufficient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sufficient are we as reckoners. And in the hadith related by Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, Allah will bring the believer clothes and shelter and screen him. And shelter and screen him. And say, did you commit such and such a sin? Did you commit such and such a sin? Did you commit such and such sin? So, he will say, yes, my Lord. He will say, yes, my Lord. Until he has confessed his sins and will think that he is ruined. And will think that he is ruined. Allah will say then, I screened your sins in the world. I screened your sins in the world, and I forgive you for them today. Alhamdulillah. And I forgive you for them today. So he will be given the book of his good deeds. So he will be given the book of his good deeds. As for the unbelievers and the hypocrites, then they will be exposed in front of the people. And it will be said, these are the ones who lied against their Lord. Indeed, the curse of Allah is upon the transgressors. They are the ones who lied against their Lord. Indeed, the curse of Allah is upon the transgressors. And also in the authentic narration from the Prophet ﷺ, it is reported that he had said, whoever intends to do a good deed and does it, then Allah writes it down for him as 10 good deeds. Whoever intends to do a good deed and does it, then Allah writes it down for him as 10 good deeds. Or up to 700 good deeds. Or up to 700 good deeds. Or many more. And whoever intends to do an evil deed and did it, then Allah will write it for him as a single evil deed. Alhamdulillah. Also, this matter is a matter of consensus amongst the Muslims, that they affirm the reckoning and accounting of the deeds. Also, this is a matter which is necessitated by wisdom. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the revelations and sent also the messengers. And Allah ordained that the people should accept the messengers brought, what the messengers brought. Not only that, but also to act upon what was obligatory from their message. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala also ordained that the Muslims to fight those who opposed him, the messenger, and made their blood lawful to be shed, and their offspring and women and wealth to be taken. So if there was to be no reckoning and no reward or retribution, then all of this would be in vain and futile. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the All-Wise, is free from that. And this is indicated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his saying in Surah Al-A'raf in chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ فَلَنَقُصَّنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمٍ وَمَا كُنَّا غَائِبِينَ. Then surely we shall narrate unto them their whole story with knowledge, and indeed we were not absent. And the weighing on that day, the day of resurrection, will be the true weighing. So as for those whose scale of good deeds, then surely we shall question those people to whom it, the book, was sent, and verily we shall question the messengers. This is the correct translation of the meaning. Then surely we shall narrate unto them their whole story, بِعِلْمٍ, with knowledge, and indeed we are not absent. So this is the third matter. Affirming the belief in the accounting and retribution. The third matter is the belief in paradise and hellfire. الإيمان بالجنة والنار عادنا الله وإياها وإياكم منها. Belief in paradise and hellfire. And that these abodes are the final and everlasting place of return for the creation. Places of return for the creation. Al-Jannah, paradise, is the place of bliss. Place of bliss, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the pious and obedient believers. Which Allah, this is the definition of the paradise. It is the place of bliss, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the one free of all imperfection, has prepared for the pious and obedient believers, those who truly believed in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated to believe in. And those who were obedient to Allah and His Messenger and sincerely worshipped Allah alone and followed His message. Paradise contains all types of bliss and delights and favors and bounties. That, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described, that which no eye has seen, that which no eye has seen, nor any ear has heard, nor any ear has heard, nor has ever been imagined by a human heart, nor has ever been imagined by a human heart, as reported in the authentic hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about it in many places in the Quran. And we take in Surah Al-Bayyinah 98 verses 7-8. قال الله تعالى إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه. Verily those who believe in the oneness of Allah and in His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including all obligations ordered by Islam, and do righteous good deeds, they are the best of creatures. Their reward with the Lord is Adn, Eden, Paradise, gardens of eternity, underneath which rivers flow. They will abide therein forever. Allah well pleased with them, and they with Him. That is for him who fears his Lord. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also spoke about in Surah As-Sajdah 32:17. قال الله تعالى فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. No soul knows what delights of the eye Allah has kept hidden for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do. This is concerning paradise. As for the hellfire, we seek refuge in Allah from that. Then it is the place of punishment, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the unbelievers, has prepared for the unbelievers, for the transgressors who disbelieved in Him and disobeyed His messengers. And its punishments and its tortures cannot be comprehended nor imagined. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 131, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ للكافرين. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى إن سورة الكهف 18:29 إنا أعتدنا للظالمين and fear the fire which is prepared for the unbelievers. And in سورة الكهف chapter 18 verse 29 قال الله تعالى إنا أعتدنا للظالمين نارا أحاط بهم سرادقها وإن يستغيثوا يغاثوا بماء كالمهل يشوي الوجوه بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقا. Verily we have prepared for the Zalimeen a fire whose walls will be surrounding them, and if they ask for the disbelievers, and if they ask for help, for relief, for water, and so forth, they will be granted water like boiling oil that will scald their faces, terrible the drink, and an evil murtafaqa, a dwelling and a resting place. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verses 64 and 65 and 66 قال الله تعالى إن الله لعن الكافرين وأعد لهم سعيرا خالدين فيها أبدا لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا يوم تقلب وجوههم في النار يقولون يا ليتنا أطعنا الله وأطعنا الرسولا. Verily Allah has cursed the disbelievers and has prepared for them a flaming fire, hell, wherein they will abide forever, and they will find neither a wali, a protector, nor a helper. On the day when their faces will be turned over in the fire, they will say, oh, would that we had obeyed Allah and obeyed the Messenger, meaning in this world. But now it's too late. Also, which is connected and related to their belief in the Al-Yawm Al-Akhir, the last day, is the belief in everything that will occur after death. Is the belief in everything that will occur after death. And from that is the Fitnatul Qabr. Fitnatul Qabr. The fitna, the trial. The trial in the grave. And this refers to the questioning in the grave, questioning the deceased. He will be questioned in the grave by angels, and he will be asked about his Rabb, his Lord, his Deen, his religion, and his Prophet. The believer will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for the believer, and the believer will be firm, and he will ask, will be asked, and it will be made easy for him to reply, and he will say, my Lord is Allah, my Deen is Islam, and my Prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those whom will be firm under this trial, and who will be able to reply with ease. And as for the transgressors, then Allah will misguide them. Allah will misguide them. And the unbeliever will say, I don't know. And the hypocrite and the doubter, the one who doubts, will say, I don't know. I heard the people saying something, so I said it too. I heard the people saying something, and so I said it too. And also, from the things that are connected to this last day, is the Na'im al-Qabr wa Adhab al-Qabr, the bliss in the grave and the punishment in the grave. The transgressors, the hypocrites, and the unbelievers will be tortured in the grave. Will be tortured in the grave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am regarding this, in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 93, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُوا أَيْدِيهِمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ اليوم تجزون عذاب الهون بما كنتم تقولون على الله غير الحق وكنتم عن آياته تستكبرون. And who can be more unjust than he who invents a lie against Allah or says, I have received inspiration, whereas he is not inspired in anything. And he who says, I will reveal the like of what Allah has revealed. And if you could but see when the zalimeen, the transgressors, the polytheists are in the agonies of death, while the angels are stretching forth their hands saying, deliver your souls, deliver your souls. This day you shall be recompensed with the torment of degradation because of what you used to utter against Allah other than the truth. And you used to reject his ayat, his signs, his proofs, his evidences with revelations with disrespect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us about what occurred to tyrants from the disbelievers, as in the case of Fir'aun and his followers, the Pharaoh and his followers, as in Surah Ghafir, chapter 46, النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا. Allah is telling us as to the situation with Fir'aun and his followers. النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. The fire, they are exposed to the fire morning and evening. Morning and evening. And on the day when the hour will be established, it will be said to the angels, cause Fir'aun, the Pharaoh's people, to enter the severest torment. And in the hadith of Zayd bin Thabit, and it is in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if it were not that you would stop burying the dead, I would have supplicated so that you should hear the torment of the grave that I am hearing. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face towards us and said, seek Allah's refuge from the torment of the grave. They said, we seek Allah's refuge from the torment of the grave. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, seek Allah's refuge from the trials and turmoil, those which are apparent and those which are hidden. They said, we seek Allah's refuge from the trials and turmoil, those which are apparent and those which are hidden. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seek Allah's refuge from the trial of the Dajjal, the false Christ. They said, we seek Allah's refuge from the trial of a Dajjal. This is concerning the punishment. As concerning the na'im, the bliss, which will be experienced by the believers in the grave, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fussilat, chapter 41, verse 30, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. Those who declare that their Lord is Allah, or those who say our Lord is Allah alone, and they are upright upon Tawheed, on them the angels will descend at the time of their death, saying, fear not nor grieve, but receive the glad tidings of paradise which you have been promised. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his favors. Qala Allah ta'ala also in Surah Al-Waqi'ah 56, 83, 89, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةُ نَعِيمٍ. نسأل الله من فضله. Then why don't you not intervene when the soul of a dying person reaches the throat, and you at the torment are looking on, but we, our angels who take the souls, are nearer to him than you, but you see not. Then why don't you not, if you are exempt from the reckoning and recompense, bring back the soul to its body if you are truthful? Then if the dying person, is from the muqarrabin, those brought near to Allah, then there is for him rest and provision and a garden of delights, paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his favors. And also in the hadith of Al-Bara ibn al-Azib, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, with regard to the believer, when he answers the angels in the grave, a caller will call from heaven. A caller will call from heaven, that my servant has spoken truly. Has spoken truly. Spoke the truth. So spread out for him a bed from paradise. So spread out for him a bed from paradise. And clothe him from paradise, and open for him a door to paradise. He said, so its gentle breeze and its fragrance will come to him, and his grave will be widened for him as far as the eye can see. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his favors. Now, the belief in the hereafter, or the belief in the last day, has many great benefits and fruits. From that is, it incites to do good acts and to be obedient to Allah, and hoping for reward from Him on that day of resurrection. And also it incites fear of disobedience and being disobedient and being sinful, and fear of being relaxed or pleased towards sins. Why? Because one would fear punishment on that day. And also it is a consolation for the believer that whatever may miss him from the worldly things, then he should not feel grieved for that, and he should look for the comfort and the bliss and the rewards in the hereafter. This is where he should hope for and anticipate. This is concerning the believer. He believes in all of these matters which we have related. The unbelievers or the disbelievers don't believe in the day of resurrection. They don't believe in the day, or deny the resurrection after death. And they say that this is something impossible. And this their argument is refuted by way of textual proofs from the revelation, and also by what has been witnessed and experienced. Not only that, but also by way of intellect, As for the textual proofs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah At-Taghabun, chapter 64 verse 7, زعم الذين كفروا أن لا يبعثوا قل بلى وربي لتبعثن ثم لتنبؤن بما عملتم وذلك على الله يسير. The disbelievers claim that Allah will not resurrect them, or pretend that they will never be resurrected for account. Say, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to them, yes, by my Lord, you will certainly be resurrected. Then you will be informed of and recompensed for what you did in this world. And that is easy for Allah. And this is something also agreed upon in all of the revealed books. All of them affirm the resurrection, as to it being witnessed, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown the dead being brought to life in this world. And five examples of this are mentioned in one single chapter in the Quran, in chapter 2 in Surah Al-Baqarah. The first example concerns the people of Musa when they said to him, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا, as in 255. We will never believe you until we see Allah openly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to die. Caused them to die. Then he brought them to life. Again, brought them back to life. And in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or regarding this, he says, addressing the children of Israel, in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2:55-56, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And remember when you said, O Musa, we will never believe in you till we see Allah plainly or openly. But you were seized with a thunderbolt, with lightning, while you were looking. Then we raised you up after your death. Then we raised you up after your death, so that you might be grateful. So this was witnessed with the children of Israel. The second example, concerning the murdered man whom the children of Israel disputed about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to sacrifice a cow and to strike him with a part of the cow so that he would be revived, and inform them of who had killed him, who had killed this man. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2, verses 72 and 73. قال الله تعالى وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا كذلك يحيي الله الموتى ويريكم آياته لعلكم تعقلون. And remember, when you killed a man and fell into dispute among yourselves as to the crime, meaning who is the murderer, but Allah brought forth that which you were hiding, so he said, strike him, strike the deceased with a piece of it, with a part of the slaughtered cow. Thus Allah brings the dead to life and shows you his signs so that you may understand. The third example, concerning those who left their homes fleeing from death, and there were thousands in number. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to die and then brought them to life again. Regarding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 243, ألم تر إلى الذين خرجوا من ديارهم وهم ألوف حذر الموت فقال لهم الله موتوا ثم أحياهم إن الله لذو فضل على الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون. Did you not think of those who went forth from their homes, who fled from their homes in thousands, fearing death from the plague? So Allah said to them, die. And then He restored them to life, brought them back to life. Truly Allah is full of bounty to mankind, but most of men thank not, or don't give thanks. The fourth example, the story of the man who passed by a town that was ruined and dead. And he could not imagine that Allah would give life to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to die for 100 years. Allah caused him to die for 100 years and then brought him to life. And regarding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2:259, أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا قَالَ أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا فأماته الله 100 عام ثم بعثه قال كم لبثت قال لبثت يوما أو بعض يوم قال بل لبثت 100 عام فانظر إلى طعامك وشرابك لم يتسنه وانظر إلى حمارك ولنجعلك آية للناس وانظر إلى العظام كيف ننشزها ثم نكسوها لحما فلما تبين له قال أعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير. Or like the one who passed by a town and it had tumbled over its roofs. It was desolate and in ruins. He said, oh, how will Allah ever bring it to life after its death? So Allah caused him to die for 100 years. Then raised him up again. He said, how long have you remained dead? How long did you remain dead? He said, the man said, perhaps I remained dead a day or part of a day. He said, nay, you have remained dead for 100 years. Look at your food and on your drink. They show no change. And look at your donkey. And thus we have made of you a sign for the people. Look at the bones, how we bring them together and clothe them with flesh. When this was clearly shown to him, he said, أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. I know now that Allah is able to do all things. The fifth example. In the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah. In the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, the chosen beloved of Allah. When he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show him how he gives life to the dead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to sacrifice 4 birds, to sacrifice 4 birds, and to place part of them upon the mountains around him. Then he was to call them, and the parts joined together, and they flew quickly to Ibrahim. And regarding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ وَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي قال فخذ 4 من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم. And remember when Ibrahim said, my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. So he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do you not believe? He, Ibrahim, said, yes, I believe, but to be stronger in faith. He said, take four birds, then cause them to incline towards you, then slaughter them, cut them into pieces, and then put a portion of them on every hill and call them. They will come to you in haste, and know that Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. All of these matters were witnessed and took place, and they were actual visible occurrences and an indication of the signs given by Allah also to Isa ibn Maryam, Isa alayhi salam, the son of Maryam, also is known from them being the giving of life to the dead and raising them from their graves by the permission of Allah. All of that was witnessed. But it wasn't Jesus alayhi salam's capability or ability to do that. This was from the miracles which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him. It occurred by the leave of Allah. And as to the intellectual proofs, then they can be discussed from two angles. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who originated the heavens and the earth. And thus He has the power and ability to do that, will not be unable to create them. The one who originated and created them and has the power and ability to do that will not be unable to recreate them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30, verse 27, وهو الذي يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده وهو أهون عليه. And He, Allah, it is He who originates the creation, then will repeat it after it has been perished. And this is easier for Him. And also in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:104, قال الله تعالى كما بدأنا أول خلق نعيده وعدا علينا إنا كنا فاعلين. And remember the day when we shall roll up the heavens like a scroll rolled up for books. As we began the first creation, we shall repeat it on the day of resurrection. Me back to the state in which we first created them. Meaning naked, barefoot, and uncircumcised. And this is a promise binding upon us. Truly we shall do it. Also, as an intellectual proof, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Yasin, chapter 36, verse 79, to those who deny the resurrection of the decayed bones, He said, قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ. Say, He will give life to them, meaning to the decayed bones, who created them for the first time. And He is all-knower of every creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has full knowledge. Also, we see around us that the earth becomes dead and barren and without greenery. And then, when the rain falls, it comes to life. Green plants of all kinds will come to grow. So the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah, able to give it life after its being dead, is the one who is capable to bring the dead to life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated regarding this in Surah Fussilat 41:39, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أنك ترى الأرض خاشعة فإذا أنزلنا عليها الماء اهتزت وربت. إن الذي أحياها لمحيي الموتى إنه على كل شيء قدير. And among his signs in this that you see the earth barren. But when we send down water to it, it is stirred to life and growth of vegetations. Verily he who gives it life, surely he is able to give life to the dead. Indeed, he is able to do all things. And also in Surah Qaf, 50 verses 9 to 11, قال الله تعالى ونزلنا من السماء ماء مباركا فأنبتنا به جنات وحب الحصيد والنخل باسقات لها طلع نضيد رزقا للعباد وأحيينا به بلدة ميتا كذلك الخروج كذلك الخروج. And we send down blessed water from the sky. And among his signs, وَنَزَّلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ and we send down blessed water from the sky. Then we produce therewith gardens and grain, every kind of harvests that are reaped, and tall date palms with ranged clusters, a provision for Allah's slaves. And we give life therewith to a dead land. Thus will be the resurrection of the dead. Also, there are people of deviation, who went astray, and they denied the punishment in the grave, and they denied the bliss in it, claiming that this is not possible. They claimed that this is contrary to, quote, the reality they experience, or the reality we experience. And they claim that, for their argument, they state that if you were to uncover the dead in the grave, you would find him just as he was. The grave would not have changed by becoming wider or tighter. So this claim is futile by text and by experience and by intellect. As to the textual proofs, we already mentioned some of them earlier. And in addition, the hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by a walled garden in Al-Madinah when he heard the sound of two people being tortured in their graves. And he mentioned the hadith, and it contains that one of them had not used to save himself from being soiled by urine, and in a narration from his urine. And as for the other, then he used to go about with evil gossip in order to cause enmity between people. This is from the textual proof confirming and affirming the punishment of the grave. And as for what is experienced, a person who is asleep may see in his dream that he is in a splendid and spacious place where he is having enjoyment, bliss, or that he is, to the contrary, in a restricted and frightening place where he feels pain, and sometimes that which he sees may cause him to awaken out of fear, jumping. Yet you see that he is in his bed, in his room, in the same state he was before. And we know that sleep is the brother of death, and Allah calls it wafa. Allah refers it to as wafat, as in Surah Az-Zumar 39:42. قال الله تعالى الله يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها والتي لم تمت في منامها فيمسك التي قضى عليها الموت ويرسل الأخرى إلى أجل مسمى. It is Allah who takes away the souls at the time of their death and those that die not during their sleep. He takes their souls away. Takes them during sleep. Then he keeps those souls for which he has ordained death and sends the rest for a term appointed. Verily in his or in this are signs for a people who think deeply. So here, the sleep is a brother of death. And all of these things are possible to occur while the person is in a state of death, the sleep, while in his place. As for the intellectual proofs, a person while sleeping sees true dreams which are consistent with reality. He may even see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his true appearance, in his true state, in his true appearance. And whoever sees him upon his true appearance has truly seen him. Because shaitan cannot take the resemblance of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Yet, despite all of this, the person who is asleep remains in his room upon his bed, far from what he sees. So if this is possible in this worldly life, then how can it not be possible in the life of the hereafter? As to their argument that if you were to uncover a dead man in his grave, you would find him just as he was, and you would find that the grave had not widened or become constricted, then the response to that is from more than one angle. First angle, it is not permissible to contradict the textual proofs and texts with the like of these weak and futile doubts. In fact, careful consideration of the textual proofs of Sharia by the one who raises these doubts would come to realize the futility of them, of his doubts. And it is said, how many people seek to find fault with a saying that is correct, and their downfall is faulty understanding. And their downfall is faulty understanding. Second, the state after death, which the deceased experience, which is known as al-barzakh, the barrier. This is from the affairs of the hidden and the unseen, and it cannot be reached by our senses. You see, if this is reached by our senses, then there will be no benefit in having iman in al-ghayb, in the hidden and in the unseen. And in this case, the believers and unbelievers and the deniers would be the same in their affirmation of it. What would be the difference? There would be no difference. And the third angle is that the punishment and bliss, expansion of the grave and its constriction, will be experienced by the deceased and not by others. This is like in the case of the sleeping person who sees in his dream that he is frightful and in a constricted place, or in an extensive and play and vast and pleasing place. Yet, if you are next to him or sitting there by him in the view of everyone else, he has experienced no change whilst asleep and remains in his room under his covers upon his bed. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to receive revelation whilst he was with his companions. And he would hear the revelation, yet the companions would hear nothing. And sometimes the angel would take the form of a man and would speak to him, yet the companions would not see or hear the angel. The fourth angle. Our perceptions, which Allah created in us, are limited limited to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled them to reach and perceive. And we cannot, by these perceptions that we have, we cannot reach everything that exists, that exists. The seven heavens and the earth and all within them, and everything glorifies and praises Allah in a true and real sense. And Allah allows this to be heard sometimes by whomever He wills from His creation. Yet this is something hidden from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in regard to that, in regard to this, in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 44, تسبح له السماوات السبع والأرض ومن فيهن وإن من شيء إلا يسبح بحمده ولكن لا تفقهون تسبيحهم ولكن لا تفقهون تسبيحهم. The seven heavens and the earth and all that's in them, is therein, glorify Him, declaring that Allah is far above any imperfection, and there is not a thing but glorifies His praise, but you understand not their glorification. Truly He is ever forbearing, oft forgiving. Also the devils and the jinn proceed on the earth. They come and go, and the jinn gathered in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, and they listened quietly to his recitation, and then went off as warners to their people. Despite this, they are hidden from us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf in 7:27, Ya bani Adama, la yaftinannakum ash-shaytanu kama akhraja abawaykum min al-jannati yanzi'u anhuma libasahuma liyuriyahuma sawatihima innahu yaraakum huwa wa qabiluhu min haythu la tarawnahum inna ja'alna ash-shayatina awliya'a lilladhina la yu'minun. O children of Adam, let not the shayateen, the devils, deceive you, as he got your parents, Adam and Hawa, out to paradise, stripping them of their raiments, to show them their private parts. Verily, he and Qabilu, his soldiers from jinns, or his tribe, see you from where you cannot see them. Verily, we made the shayateen, the devils, awliya, helpers and protectors for those who believe not. So therefore, the creation cannot see, cannot reach and perceive all that exists. So accordingly, therefore, it is not allowed to reject these affairs of the hidden and the unseen that have been affirmed, but which they are unable to perceive by us, by our limited capabilities and perceptions. So, in accordance with these angles, from the textual proofs, from the witness, from the experienced, from the intellect, their arguments crumble and are rendered futile. Finally, the belief in the last day also encompasses belief in the horrors of the day of resurrection, and also encompasses the belief in things that are in paradise, which we discussed thoroughly in the other class on the same subject when we talked about this pillar, through our discussion on the important lessons for this ummah. So, also please refer to that. And also another and additional benefits we encountered earlier when we discussed the belief in the torture in the grave and seeking refuge in that and from the refuge and seeking refuge in Allah from hell, seeking refuge from the torture in the grave, seeking refuge from the hell and punishment in hell after the tashahud. You can find that also in the salah described. In salah described. So all these three come together to expound on this subject and to complement each other in points of benefit. So I urge you to put a note about this so that you can, inshallah ta'ala, grasp this matter from these different angles. And in fact, here I will be suggesting the following. If it is possible to have a task group of three individuals who would transcribe these three citations and put them together for editing, and then inshallah ta'ala we can have that edited and posted on the site for people to benefit. So here is my suggestion, that three people to take this task and reconcile these matters together, inshallah. And then they should have a team leader who will proofread, and inshallah ta'ala they will give you the links to them, so you can find them handy, inshallah, easy to access, and then begin your work. Alhamdulillah, now we have the task. Jazakum Allah khair. And then we will have an editing team at the end. We will have Brother Abu Mahdura to lead this team, and the people will work with him, and then he will submit that to me, inshallah ta'ala. And then we will send it to two proofreaders and to an editor to reconcile it in its final form. Then we can put it on the site. And also there will be another team who will work on simplifying it in order to be available for kids in the age of 7 till 10 in simple language. So we'll have three groups. The first group led by Abu Mahdura, and then we'll have another group for editing and proofreading after the reconciliation has been done. And finally we will have the group for the rendering it in simple language for the kids, anticipating inshallah that the site for the kids we are working on will inshallah carry that out in the future. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This discussion that you have heard today is largely based upon the discussion by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala concerning the pillars of Iman, particularly the last hour. Walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah.